Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Oldie But a Goodie. It is the podcast, like many podcasts, that is a podcast. But the twist is that this podcast only exists to review movies from 1994 in the order the movies came out in. It's one of the last weeks of May.
Yes.
And we're reviewing a movie that came out in one of the last weeks of May back in 94. My name's Sandro. My voice is back. That's good. What's up,
yes.
Zach?
Hello. I am here. I am ready to review this fantastic movie.
This movie was not very good.
This fantastic movie that brings me back to the Stone Age, quite literally, in its artistry, in its cool movie features, and its lifestyle.
Yeah.
And treatment of other people.
It's true.
So, yeah.
We've got someone else in the room today. In fact, we're at his house because why not? It's Rob Lloyd. How's it going?
It is an absolute pleasure to be here, to be reviewing a film that I was actually, I'm actually old enough to have seen it in the cinemas when I was in high school.
Were you born in the Stone Age?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. A lot of my students when I'm teaching at high school think that as well. So, it's not my choice year of best year of cinema.
It's definitely
not a table wine year. It's more like it's more like a goon cask year.
It's a goon cask year.
My French champagne year of cinema is the year 1989.
That's a good year.
1994 is definitely cask of goon that drunk it all out. Now you've inflated it into a shiny silver balloon and knocked
it around.
Jim
Carrey's playing it with you.
With whatever over the top ham acting he can, and people just lapping it up.
Pretty much.
It's great. Mm.
Now, Rob, you are, of course, well-known in the Melbourne improvisational and nerdy comedy scene.
I am. I have been trading my wares around Melbourne since 2000. Mm. This is my 20th year of comedy in Melbourne. So, so what better way to feel old is to go back to, as you say, not only the Stone Age, but 1950s values and mentality.
This film was dated when it came out. And
it's amazing how much a film set in the Stone Age can be so dated in every single way and to be completely offensive. Not nostalgically, oh, that's beautiful, to go, ooh, there is so much that's ooh about this right
now. It's funny because I felt that over, not last week's, but like the weeks before, whatever we did then. Can't remember, it's been 2 weeks.
The Brendan Fraser one?
Yeah, I think so. I was getting heavy vibes of that. I didn't feel that at all this week.
Interesting.
Well, actually, no, I did feel that in a lot of different places. But I didn't feel it, like, super heavily. I was too busy just enjoying the whole aspect.
Show us on the doll where you felt it.
Yes.
Show us on the doll.
Right here.
Yeah, all right. He's pointing to his heart. There's
But yeah, no. I enjoyed this movie far more than I should have.
In a non-ironic way?
In a unfortunately non-ironic way. And in both spectrums. In the very ironic and the non-ironic at all.
Okay. Interesting. Well, we had two other choices for films to review this week. Let's see, Rob, if you've seen any of them. Beverly Hills Cop 3.
I haven't seen Beverly Hills Cop 3. I've seen 1 and 2, but I haven't seen 3. I know it's set in an amusement park.
Okay.
That's the one I haven't seen.
Okay.
And what's the other one that came out?
A Little Buddha. It's about...
Is that with Keanu Reeves?
Yes.
Yes, I didn't see that either. Because there's only...
I forgive you for this one.
Yeah, there's only one Keanu Reeves film for me. Two Keanu Reeves films for me, and that's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey. But apparently I've been told to watch the John Wick films.
They're good.
Good.
We're doing Speed in a couple weeks. That one's also
nice.
Pretty
Speed's
good.
A good one, yeah. So, and the first Matrix is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I used to have this... Yeah, but he ruined things so much with Dracula. But he actually is quite good. He was just miscast.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
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 And he's wonderful. He's wonderful. Like, we have him on interviews and stuff like that. He's a
great. He's a fantastic guy.
I want to hear about stories about him, you know, like he, you know, what he does with his money and how he lives, you know, a certain lifestyle.
Good on you, bud.
Sweet. Yes. But yeah, we're doing The Flintstones, released May 7th in 94. It's also known as The Flintstones Movie or The Flintstones, the live action movie.
Hey.
Both great titles.
I love when they add live action. That's when I know the film's going to be good.
Yeah, well, I was raised on a lot of the telly movies they did of the cartoons back in the day, especially the Christmas Flintstones movies. Where there was Christmas in China and there was Christmas in all these other areas that don't celebrate. But, you know, that's just American imperialism taking over.
Well, don't they make a joke or something where, like, Christ hasn't even been born for thousands, millions of years yet, so why are we celebrating Christmas?
I'm not aware of that because I wasn't aware that there were any jokes in this film.
No, I don't know. Maybe I just heard a joke about that. Like,
This film was directed by a guy called Brian Levant. He also did the prequel to this film in the year 2000.
Yeah.
On top of that, he did the original Beethoven movie in 92.
Right, okay.
A bunch of live-action Scooby-Doo TV films.
Yeah.
So not all the movies.
With Buffy and Freddie Prinze.
Most recently, he's returned to the "It's a dog, look at the dog doing dog things" style of filmmaking with a film called Max 2, White House Hero.
Right, okay.
It's
about a dog that works for the Secret Service and goes to the White House.
That's just a collection of words you've thrown together as a title.
It exists.
They got a hat.
Fishbowl Incubator 7 now. Okay.
All right, we can do this. All right, pick out 5 words. This is the movie title.
Take it.
Yeah.
Put a number in there as well.
Yeah, perfect.
The writing team haven't done that much, but one of them also wrote Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Circle of life.
All comes back around. We'll quickly go through the cast. We got John Goodman as Fred Flintstone.
It's a stellar cast. I will say this. The cast is stellar. You've got John Goodman.
Yeah. You got Elizabeth Perkins.
Who
as
is
Wilma.
Amazing and done incredible things most recently in Weeds.
Yeah.
The great Rick Moranis.
Yes. As Barney. It's always good to see him in just anything.
He's great. I love him.
And Rosie O'Donnell as Betty.
I'm okay with Rosie.
She's great. Kyle MacLachlan. Cliff, villain. The only original character in the film.
Halle Berry's character.
Cool.
I think they're originally going to call her Sharon Stone.
I think they do call her Sharon Stone.
Do they actually call
her?
Yeah. But do you actually hear it in the movie, or is it just like they call her Miss Stone? Right.
There was I think they definitely mentioned it at least once because I wrote it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I went, hang on, that name sounds familiar. film of the year.
That's the one from Intersection.
It's also the final ever movie performance from Elizabeth Taylor.
That's right.
She plays the mother-in-law.
She's fine. She's fine.
Just one scene where they just leave her tied up for 2 minutes and that's the joke.
The classic, you know, mother-in-law, boy, I hate you. You hate me. Yay.
Hey, women, am I right?
Comedy. Oh, woo.
Kill me now.
Gotta love it. The reception for this film, very low. 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. I quickly skimmed through them. A lot of the reviewers were just saying the plot is not good for kids. And the humour is not good for adults.
No.
So, who is this film for?
It's a little bit adult in parts. Like, there's some parts where Halle Berry is fully sexifying everything she does.
Yes, that's true. I did notice this, especially with, like, the hanging. At that point, I was like, well, that's a bit brutal for a kid's movie. They're going to get a lynch mob to hang him.
Like,
all
really
right.
full on.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. Yeah.
And I don't want to have a go at child actors, but the poor child who plays Bam Bam just looks like he's...
I think you mean his full name
is in a constant state looking like he's either constipated, he's squinting because there's too much sun, or just...
That's really unusual because most child actors that we've encountered have been great so far.
They've all been so good.
1994 is a stellar year for child actors.
Oh boy. Woof. Now,
the film somehow made a lot of money.
It made a bucket load of money, you were just saying.
So it cost 46 to make. It made $342 million.
Jeez.
That is insane. But I remember at the time, there was a lot of press about it. Even, like, this is before the internet, and this is before, like, social media and all this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the hype for this was built up like almost a year before it came out. So I remember there were rumors about they're making the Flintstones into live action. They've got Spielberg presenting it. They've got, you know, big news was Elizabeth Taylor doing her first acting in like 3,000 years.
Yeah.
three million years.
Yeah, 3 million years. Yeah. And so it was a big deal. There was a lot of press leading up to it. So
I think it opened on a 4-day weekend as well. So it's just really good
time
for it to come out and everything. So anyway, that's killed the information it. About the film.
Is that the most that a movie's made so far that we've reviewed?
I think, Ace Ventura made a lot, but I don't think it cracked $200 million.
Well, that's the thing. You're now getting into the summer area. So so what's coming up next is like the big blockbusters. And were there any other big blockbusters in the summer of 94?
None have opened up so far.
Yeah.
A lot of them are coming in like the next few weeks though.
And what's coming up? Are you allowed to say?
We've got Lion King.
Yeah. Lion King. And I'm very excited
That one obviously
for.
Just takes everything.
And nothing else matters.
All right. Well, let's go through the film.
It does seem like an extended episode of it just stretched out to 90 minutes, so basically,
which I liked.
You liked that?
Yeah, okay. I liked that. Maybe I shouldn't have, but it reminded me of watching the episodes.
Yes,
I guess a lot of my like for this movie is it gives me a lot of nostalgia right now.
Okay.
And that's why I like it. So I liked the whole start of that. The start of that was very weird.
The start of the film,
because they start off the film, they have like 5 minutes of the film, and then it does the intro?
Yes.
Because, not to jump too forward, but it is revealed that they are watching the movie at a cinema. The film ends, it's like the Flintstones, the end, and then the real life Flintstone family drives home.
Yes.
And it opens with them going to the cinema as well. But before that, we see Kyle MacLachlan and Halle Berry
talking and plotting about we need to find someone who, you know, who could be, you know, dumb enough to be.
Yeah, I love them. I got a great quote here.
So does that mean that the Flintstones are late to the cinemas, or that just art is almost exactly imitating what's going on in this world?
Mm.
So are we going? Is it one of the first, you know, mainstream examples of meta references back upon itself? So
maybe.
You know, the Muppet movie did
that.
That
is exactly the credit I am giving this.
Why am I not surprised that you would give it that credit?
What's the quote? Look at those pathetic worms, which was a great beginning line for the film. It really set the tone for me.
That's a great opening line. And then it goes into that live action homage of the opening credits.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets really weird for me. Mm. When it's like that live action imitating animation, and it's just never as good. And like the moment where he jumps up in the air for longer.
I love that so much.
John Goodman does so well of landing and trying to not look like he's collapsing because of the weight of the harness and stuff.
But that's the ironic. I love that so much. Right. That was like that's so bad. I love it. So bad. I love it. Not so bad, I love it, but I actually genuinely loved it, was the whole aesthetic, the props and other things, which I know Sandro didn't like at all.
No, I thought it looked just rubbery and bad.
The only thing that works for me are the dinosaurs. The puppetry is amazing.
Yeah, the puppetry is
really good. And I'm not sure. I think it might have been the Henson Workshop. I'm not sure.
That's what I really loved is the puppetry.
The puppetry is great, and Dictor Bird has a little bit of stiltedness and a bit of dead eyes, but there's a life to especially some of the bigger dinosaurs.
Like the
woolly mammoth is
the mammoth with the sink faucet or whatever. That's
so
great.
That type of stuff is really
cool. Love that. That, as a child, I personally love.
I
love that so much. I was like, oh my god, that's so cool. The Brontosaurus is like a little lawnmower. I love that as a child. That fueled my imagination.
Mm.
And seeing this movie again in live action, that reminded me of that. I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also the general aesthetic. I know you didn't like the props and everything because it looked rubbery and cartoony, but I love that. I was like, hey, that looks just like the cartoon and stuff.
Yeah.
They try to make it look as much like the cartoon as possible, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
I liked that sort of aesthetic.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I didn't like Dino, though, talking about the dinosaurs.
There were moments like, I think it was a mix of CGI and a bit of live action. Yeah, but sometimes when he's running away, you can see it's clearly CGI.
I didn't like the CGI. The CGI was... I love the puppetry, hate the CGI.
Still that transition era.
Yeah, it's so obvious looking back on it. I'm sure back in the day it was like, whoa!
Yeah. But there are some films that blend it quite well. Like you look at Jurassic Park.
Like The Mummy.
Yes.
Like The Mummy Scorpion King, very specifically.
No, don't remind me.
Animatronic character that we now call The Rock. Oh, is almost believable in his acting. But hasn't that puppet gone on to do some great things?
But the CGI of that movie.
So the story is Fred gives all these savings to Barney so that they can adopt a kid.
Wilmer is totally fine with.
Totally fine with.
When she finds out,
you go, you've given away all our money. Oh, but you've got a good heart.
Then
The plot of Kyle MacLachlan's character is to find someone to be their stooge who's like signs everything away and he'll take the fall for money embezzling scheme. And so while they look for someone to be an executive vice president type thing.
Yeah.
And so they have a test and they all go for it because Fred wants to better himself because he's been at the same job and he gets no respect from his mother-in-law.
So
he goes for do the test and Barney collects all the papers, and when he realizes that he vowed to do something to help his friend out, he swaps the papers because Barney's smart.
Yeah.
And so Fred gets the promotion.
Yeah, now this is where I have a problem, because they're looking to put all the stuff on. So wouldn't they want to get like the dumbest person?
This plan has
been done before, but smartly, where they've gotten the dumb person. In this case, they just lucked out to hire the smart person, which just happens to be the dumbest person.
Yeah, I don't want to find plot holes.
Okay.
So basically, if they had hired the smartest person, we've been... Barney, would Barney have done these things because they really wanted a dumb
person? No, I don't think Barney would have just immediately read what he was doing. He'd be like,
although,
well, that's
the running theme for this film and for pretty much every family-friendly film we've done this year is greed and money corrupt everyone. So maybe he would have.
Yeah, greed, corruption, and modernization is bad. What we need to do is stay with old-fashioned values, old-fashioned lifestyles, old-fashioned views of people... And the oncoming storm of the future, which is to
be... they make concrete.
We don't need to look ahead to the future.
Yeah. Oh, gross.
Yeah. Thankfully, we've moved on as a society since then. And now in elections, we vote for preservation of the future, not the sustaining of what is happening now in the past.
So I have an idea of what would have happened, but it is my sequel.
Yes.
Is an alternative universe where... he doesn't switch them out.
Is it the darkest timeline?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Good. And everyone's got evil...
Oh, no, all my sequels have been the darkest timelines.
And they've all got evil goatees.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
For a prehistoric era film, there's a lot of clean-shaven people in this.
It's true.
Yeah.
And no tan lines or anything.
This is very active. He gets, like, the little mole thing to nung-nung-nung on his thing. So there's a very... it's, like, thoroughly...
It's all researched.
Yeah.
So then he gets the promotion, and then it's a case about money does corrupt. Your values will get warped by your money and power and influence.
And also Halle Berry, every time she shows up into his office, because Fred Flintstone has an office because he's like a junior vice president or something.
He's got a massive room. That's bigger than his house.
It's crazy.
And every time Halle Berry shows up, cue 90s jazz.
Yes.
So much 90s jazz. It's just constantly...
I was trying to spot Kenny G somewhere, and Kenny G had to be somewhere. But of course, Fred starts actually treating her like an it says that she has brains.
Yeah.
And she takes that to heart and goes, you know what? Yeah. A man has told me I have brains. Maybe I'll believe him.
I do have value after all.
Because a man told me.
Yes. Thanks, men.
But her character arc is great.
Yeah, okay, that so I didn't good. Like. All of that, I was like, no thank you. No thanks.
There is a Dictabird in his office.
Yeah. And very well voiced by Harvey Corman, from those of you who are as old as me or older will remember his excellent work in The Carol Burnett Show. He did a couple of Disney films like Herbie Goes Bananas and stuff like that. Very good comedian. And his voice work is incredible in this. Really brings life to some of the stilted puppets.
Yeah. I'm kind of annoyed at the fact that they didn't have more of him. Obviously, they wanted to focus more on, like, Fred being the hero, but he's actually the hero.
It's all dictaphone. Dictabird's there, you know, saying, trying to talk some sense to him.
About
read the things before you sign them and all this type of stuff.
Yeah, Fred Flintstone's just like, nah, shut up.
You're just a bird.
You're just an appliance. If I wanted to ask the appliances for advice, I'd ask the water cooler. Yeah.
Which was probably an animal as well.
So. Yeah. But great line.
Yes. The bosses ask Fred to fire Barney, and he does it at a party.
For him.
And, so Barney throws a party for Fred, and then at the party, Fred fires Barney, and Barney's just cool with it. He's like, yeah, I guess we'll go find another
Barney,
job, whatever.
Barney, coolest friend, by
coolest
the way.
Friend ever.
He's good.
Yeah. And he's kind of tantrumy in that Fred. I don't remember... Was he that tantrumy in the cartoons? He's like,
no,
I don't want this. I don't want it. I've got to fire you. Man.
He's not tantrumy, but he does like complain a bit.
Yeah.
It's less tantrumy, more like, oh no.
Yeah.
Sort of
it
thing.
It feels like this version of Fred was heavily inspired by Homer.
Yeah. In this film.
Yeah.
Because this was the height of The Simpsons.
You're right. I didn't
Bart
think about
Bartman had just come out and everybody do the Bartman and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Mm. I actually see that.
Yeah. So Fred, he signs a bunch of things to fire all the workers. Meanwhile, the
by
rebels.
Accident.
Yeah, of course. By accident, because he's, you know. Meanwhile,
oh, it's going to give them a vacation. Yay! Sign all this. Wah, wah.
He's kind of unlikable in this. I remember him being
very
endearing in the show, but.
Well, it is. I mean, when the Flintstones came out, it was a direct tribute, parody, / stealing. Mm-hmm. Of The Honeymooners, which was Jackie Gleason's most popular show at the time. It was the biggest show ever. It was, you know, Ralph Cramden was the lead character and he had, you know, his friend and him and his wife. Mm. It was that type of format. And Jackie Gleason almost sued Hanna-Barbera for stealing the exact same concept of The Honeymooners, his show. But then he was quoted as saying, I don't want to be the guy that sued a cartoon show. Okay, let them have their fun.
Yeah.
I remember Fred being big and bold and brash and stuff like that. Yeah. But I didn't because it's an hour and a half film. They go into the deeper thing about Fred wanting to better himself and why he's sacrificing his friend, so he has to have that arc.
Yeah.
But the interplay between him and Barney doesn't come across as jovial. It comes across as mean.
Oh yeah.
Like it's not funny at all. It's just mean.
I don't know. So, I liked it. Maybe I'm just being, you know. I don't think the dialogue was good, but I enjoyed it.
Hey, you're a dummy. Hey, you're a big fat fuck. All right, okay. Yeah. Wow, this is so endearing. Oh, so
I'd watch that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Later on, it gets more vicious.
Yeah.
Like, but I think that's supposed to be his, like, greed arc, where he's turning more greedy.
Yeah,
so the Robles, they move over to the Flintstones' house, and then that is where things start to get pretty vicious.
Yeah.
Fred starts spending all the money. I've got a list of things he buys. So
he buys
a sports car.
He does buy a
sports
car.
Yes, that's great. Love that.
He gets some fancy clothes in that they're just black and white versions of stuff he usually wears.
He does go very bling, doesn't he? It's
I loved these scenes, by the way, where he goes in with his crappy car, brings out this cool sports car, but it's still like
a
crappy Stone Age car. And then get the Stone Age bling.
Yeah.
They get a new pig.
A new garbage disposal pig.
I felt bad for the old pig. Oh, we see him later in like a homeless shelter. And I'm like, oh, that poor pig.
That is really, really hard.
He was being fed forks and other things.
Right?
It's not his fault.
And had John Goodman's hand down his throat.
Yeah, constantly.
They put another level on their house.
Yeah.
They do.
They got a boat, I think.
They got a boat. There's
a satellite
personal
dish.
Trainers show up.
Yeah, personal trainer just rocks up to
the very fit, very handsome. They get a satellite dish for the new TV. That was like a... They did the ding for the top of the house, and suddenly this is Hecatory, and then another ding for this little satellite dish.
Nice, respect.
It was great.
They put, like, beans on... like
beans on the elephant.
Beans on the mammoth.
Oh, that was... I saw that. I was like, why? What does that achieve? Your sink now has bling on it.
And all the furniture inside is like modernized, but it's like modern 1960s.
Yeah, it's great.
It's all like curves and like, you know, like Jetsons design.
Yeah, exactly. Like Jetsons. Anyway, and then they decide, we'll go out dancing.
Oh, you're working as a busboy?
Yeah.
Oh, the worst thing ever.
The worst. The lowest of the low.
How much low could he get?
Yeah, no.
I think there's a scene where, like Barney shows up at the table and friends are like, sit down. And he's like, hey, I'm working here.
I'm working here. Come on.
Just comes out of nowhere.
If he actually said, it's a living, I'd be a lot happier.
Yeah, no.
As every animal did in every episode of the cartoon series. But never in this film.
No. So Barney's working. He sees on the TV that... It turns out Fred's fired the entire crew at the mine.
That's right.
And then Barney's like, oh, you know, I was the one who actually got the good test. I swapped him out. And Fred's like, no, you didn't. Why would they want someone like you? You got fired. And then Barney's like, oh, well, I've got to leave. But hang on, Betty. I forgot to punch out. And he punches Fred.
Oh, that was
a good pun, I guess. I don't know.
That was terrible.
We're just grabbing for anything that could be remotely...
There was better ones than that. That one I thought was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
I think Wilma immediately leaves Fred after that as well.
Yes.
Yeah, no. She's on his side for that whole interaction where they're like, are you calling my husband a liar? Whatever.
Yeah.
That stuff. And the families are fighting. And then cut to next scene where she's like, no, we should get back together. Let's not fight. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Because there was heating words, obviously.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. And then Fred's like, guess I'll go back to work. And then he finds out the bad guys are using his name to embezzle stuff. And he's like...
Which has been said by Dick the Bird this entire time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's why the bird's the hero.
Yeah.
I love how Wilma finds out. Because she's there watching the TV.
Yeah.
And there's a dramatic dramatization of the office that Fred works at, being like, yes, I'm embezzling money, ha ha ha, I'm good, I'm gonna run away. And she's like, I know what to do.
Yeah.
I'll get the bird to tell me what happened.
The bird knows everything, that hero.
The plot is just like, it's just so...
It's look, what is it? Yeah, like I'm saying, it's an extended episode of a TV. Of the TV series, just like, let's spread it out over 90 minutes, and just doesn't have enough legs to last that long.
Yeah, no, I certainly have to agree with that. Like, the plot could have been better.
So she sneaks into the workplace with Betty because they are friends now, even though that never happened on screen.
No, they just make up.
Yep, and they.
Yeah, well, you know. Yep.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Great explanation.
Look, defending this film, you know, they're great friends.
You'd be great. You'd be a great pitch man to go into a movie studio. So what? How are they friends? Here's $5 million.
The women have this connection when they're in the kitchen, bonding with their chit-chat.
But she did get annoyed when Betty chopped her lettuce a bit too ferociously and a bit flew up in Wilma's face.
Yeah, there was a bit of tension there. But their friendship was stronger than that. They have this great womanly...
Woman power.
I forgot about the whole kitchen thing.
Yeah, the kitchen thing. Yeah. I'm just so annoyed. She cuts lettuce and it flies up in my face. We need to end this right now. Oh my god. Anyway, so yes.
They kidnap the bird, apparently.
Of course.
Yeah.
As you do.
Bird is very unwilling. All the next shenanigans that go on, the bird is like, what the hell? I was just doing my job. Like, sorry, this is my perspective on the bird. Because it gets literally kidnapped.
Yep.
And then forced to tell everyone the truth.
Yeah.
It needs to be represented better in this film, I believe.
I think this is when Halle Berry turns to the good side.
Of course.
Because, of course, she does. Because she was treated like a person.
Treated like a person by a man.
Yep. And Fred attracts a big crowd of angry people. And they're
people
like, be fired. And they're like, we'll hang you.
The story is very well connected. You have to see these
the nuances. If you're not seeing it, it's your fault, not the film's.
Did the episode where this happens to Homer come out before this? 94. Angry mob are chasing him and Bart through.
Oh, that that episode would have been before this.
Yeah.
Well, that was like about season.
What are you trying to imply, son?
Just saying.
The integrity of this film is not.
Which
quite...
has made me glad that they never will make a live action Simpsons because the characters would just not work as
humans. God, no, it wouldn't. No.
Although,
no, John it just Goodman wouldn't work.
Have you seen John Goodman now? No, he could play Abe Simpson.
Yeah.
Good lord.
I love you, though, John.
So they're about to hang Fred, and Barney shows up selling ice cream, and they're like, "Oh, guess we'll hang him as well." Okay,
no, I love this
ice cream. Get out of there.
No, because they're like, in this movie, the crowd like pauses to let them have their dialogue.
Their
long ass dialogue. The whole crowd like moves out of the way so they can have this dialogue between this guy, and they're like, "Wait a minute. You're the friend of this guy. Guess we'll hang you as well."
Yeah. It's great.
And they have this long-ass dialogue where they become best friends again.
Well, not really, because Fred never... I guess he sort of apologizes, but it's like...
No, he doesn't apologize, but they become best friends again.
Yeah, that's the thing. There isn't, you know... You need your characters to change, and Fred doesn't change enough in this film for me to actually, you know, care anymore.
No.
And then
they nearly get hanged, but just in the last minute.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which has never been done before, in the last minute.
Never in cinema history.
No. They swoop in with the bird, and the bird has all the recordings of the story.
Right. Yeah. So, but first Fred has to apologize.
This is the one time Fred apologizes for something.
The bird shows up and says, "I may eat bugs, but I have feelings. And you hurt them."
Which is great.
And that is Harvey Korman. At his best. He deserved an Oscar nomination for that.
Yeah, that's great.
The Oscars?
Imagine seeing that. That would be great.
That would be funny.
I want to know who was nominated in 95, but you're there going kind of like, you know, and you've got Tommy Lee Jones for The Fugitive. Hey, yeah. You've got Leonardo DiCaprio for What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Harvey Korman for Dick the Bird. He's even in the audience going, "What the fuck am I doing?"
I didn't know I was nominated for this.
All these white guys are on drugs, all right? It's the 90s. They're still hungover.
So then he grudgingly, very grudgingly apologizes. Men can't apologize. That's showing weakness.
Yep, exactly.
Although he did cry at the start of the film.
Yes, he cried between his two friends.
Yeah.
But that was like a
bromance is okay.
Yeah, bromance is okay. That was a bromance.
Tears are okay.
Yeah.
That's not...
Yeah. Any other tears, not okay.
No.
Bromance tears are okay. And drinking out of a giant beer barrel.
Yeah, that was kind of a bit... Yes. That was kind of a bit creepy.
That didn't seem sanitary.
That's kind of a bit weird. That's not sanitary. They're not wearing any shoes. So much dirt.
Yes, but I think in the Flintstones universe, it is shockingly sanitary.
Shockingly sanitary.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, this shouldn't be this sanitary.
Of all the logic plot holes, that's one that can be resolved. That's fair. I don't even know why I questioned it.
Except when he steps on a nail.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a rusty
nail.
That's
right, yeah.
That seemed pretty bad. But anyway, moving on from that. Otherwise, their hygiene's great.
So Kyle MacLachlan stolen the two kids because of course
they have nails in this universe.
They do have nails.
Sorry, they have metal in it. No. Back to this. Sorry.
And they want to move them to the steam age. Can I just?
Oh yeah,
they go straight from rock age to steam age. They skip bronze and all the other ones.
Yeah.
So they go straight to steam. Sorry. Yes.
See, that's why he was a baddie because he jumped ahead.
Yeah, that's damn you, Kyle MacLachlan, and your gorgeously perfect symmetrical chin.
Oh yeah,
it's clearly evil. It's evil. Black magic.
What was this? So they're at the steam powered setup, and they're like, "If you give me the bird, I'll give you the kids." So they give Kyle MacLachlan the bird, and the bird's like, "I should have signed up with Disney, or else this wouldn't have happened."
That's a great line. He's so good in this.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it makes sense. That line.
It's a good line.
That's probably my favorite line.
It doesn't need to make
sense
if it's a good line.
Yeah, it's a great
line. That's
fair.
And that was the problem with 94, Rob.
Yeah.
Things don't have to make sense to make a good line.
No, exactly.
That was the problem with this year.
Yeah. They just went, "Let's just put a good line in. It doesn't make any sense. Just put it in there."
They found a golden nugget. You're putting it in that.
We're putting
movie.
It in there. We're putting it in there. We've got nothing else to put there. Yeah. So. Now, what happens to the bird? Does the bird?
So what happens is then the bad guy runs off with the bird after activating the big machine to kill the kids, whatever. And then he like tries to cover its mouth because it's talking too much because it's a recording bird.
Yeah.
It then bites him. He drops it, and then there's a bam 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 bam. But they don't actually play the Benny Hill.
That would be pretty funny if they did that.
No, that would have only improved the movie at that point. But then he runs after that. So then they defeat the big machine.
Yeah. Fred uses the machine to destroy itself and Barney rescues the kids.
Which is a callback to earlier when he accidentally destroyed the model.
That's right. Yeah.
He can then use this knowledge that he's gained earlier to defeat this evil machinery.
That is bringing the future.
Yeah.
He is a smart guy after all.
Or accidentally smart.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty
much. It causes a landslide of mixed stone and water and powdered stuff, and it makes this grey substance that can be used as a building material.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And it falls all over Kyle MacLachlan.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. That's right. They kill Kyle MacLachlan.
Yes.
They turn into a cement statue, don't they?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh my God, I forgot that.
That's right. This G-rated film.
Yeah, Halle Berry's being incredibly sexy and inappropriate in this film. And they kill Kyle MacLachlan. Yes.
Oh, but he gets hoisted by his own petard because of the broken machinery creates this.
That's right. So listen, kids.
Yeah.
Let this be a lesson to you.
Yep.
Don't ever modernize or think of progress.
Otherwise, you'll be encased in concrete.
And that's what we've learned today. Yep. Turns out the flints were the stones all along the way.
And we all woke up and it was all a bad movie dream watching.
Oh, no. And then it cuts to them at a movie watching the movie.
That's the film.
Is there a cutaway later on? Like, did they post-credit scenes and do they do stuff like that?
I didn't see that.
You didn't stay that long enough?
I don't think that
I watched through the credit. There was nothing else.
So the Dicta Bird doesn't have a happy ending or anything like that? Does it like...
I think they only show it once again where it's talking to the cops.
All right, okay.
So it's like explaining what's happening.
Yeah.
I think it actually goes through a line through the film. It's like one of the bad guys' lines. It's just repeating it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, yes, he's talking to the cops.
Yeah, right, okay.
Doing that.
I think
so there's your closure for that character.
Yeah. Well, if they do a... Okay, we'll talk about spin-offs later.
No.
So sadly, Harvey Korman is no longer with us, we could easily find someone to be the new... Dicta Bird.
Yeah.
Yep. So it ends with the death of Kyle MacLachlan. I can't believe I forgot that.
The discovery of concrete.
Woo!
And that is
And the boss is like, look at what you've done. And he points to this like horrific posed statue of him. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You see, it was a bad guy. He did all this stuff. This is brilliant. You mixed stone and stuff. You're promoted, you think. But he's like, no. Promotions, no, that's greed.
Yes.
And that was manipulating me as a human being, so I'm not going to take the extra money and a promotion and all that. Instead, I'm going to go back to my old job. Mm.
Yeah, because that's where I should be all the time.
Yes.
If we incorporated Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey 12 points, would it hold up as well as some other movies? Probably not. No. Is he the master of two worlds by the end of it, Fred Flintstone? No. Did he go through the threshold into the special world?
Perhaps.
Did he face the ordeal? Did he
faced an ordeal.
Did he have a resurrection though? And did he come back as
He killed the bad guy. So
he went greedy and then was
not as greedy. Yeah.
Well, he turned down the promotion. So yes.
And he was shit to his friends, and he was kind of
not
as shit to his friends.
Yes.
So, yeah.
He didn't know how to learn how to apologize.
I'm going
to
say yes for this one. Definite yes.
Okay.
Hard yes.
Okay.
So we rate the films oldies or goodies.
I was tempted to go worse than an oldie.
Really?
It's older than an oldie. And to take a stellar cast like that and make it an embarrassment is an achievement so bad that I believe it is. Yeah, it's worse than an oldie. It's a prehistoric-y.
A prehistoric-y. Well, it gets a prehistoric-y from Ruff.
Yeah. That's fair. That is very fair.
And
now,
shame on the $3.9841 million audience yeah. members who went to see it. Ooh. And that includes me.
Yeah,
that includes
shame on you.
I did. I contributed $10 to that. Yeah. To that.
I think my dad was running a movie cinema at this point. Probably showed it. I blame him as well.
Yeah, blame him. Yep. Yep.
Everyone involved.
Everyone involved.
Yeah.
This is humanity's greatest mistake.
It's not the worst thing we've done so far, which pains yes. me to say. It is definitely an oldie from me, though.
Yep.
How about you, Zach?
Well,
oh, here we go.
I've been talking through this film so far, and I am ashamed to say that I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You are the Barney to this Fred. You are this film's rock.
Yeah. No, and because I really enjoyed the Fred Flintstones as a show when I was a kid. Mm. It was like one of my top. Like, I love dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are really cool. Fair and it had super creative ideas, which fueled my imagination. Mm. So I really loved it. I haven't seen Flintstones in years, eons, centuries.
Wow. That's a long time. That's a
very long time.
Millions of years, almost. Yeah, so this reminded me of that. And it brought back the nostalgia. And I love the sort of aesthetic of it. So I'm giving it an oldie, obviously.
Yeah, flipped it around.
Yeah,
there
no.
we go.
It deserves an oldie. Because no one else should really go back and watch. Like, my scores for this is goody, you should go back and watch it. Oldie, it can be left in the past.
Sort yeah. Of yeah.
This can be left in the past. It could also be made way better nowadays.
Yeah. Maybe.
They could give it a plot. So...
Yeah, it's just that fundamental basic structure of a man going out to work and the woman staying at home. And there's nothing against, you know...
Yeah,
housewives no, think, and housekeepers, they're yeah, raising their children and keeping their house together.
Well, I think that's what you could focus on that. Maybe you can make a play on that and, like, modernize it.
That's the thing. And it's kind of has been modernized with The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And yes. Family Guy. And all that type of stuff. So it's a case of, you know, yeah, do we update it for nostalgia purposes or just do we... And this is coming from someone who loves their nostalgia. Or do we just start telling new stories?
Yeah.
Or do we focus more on Josie and the Pussycats?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, these are the important, hard-hitting questions.
You know, when it comes to Hanna-Barbera characters that need a reinvention, yeah?
Maybe not the Fred Flintstones, but the same universe... modernized maybe after those maybe
look, let's start now and in 10 years we can have Hanna-Barbera Endgame. That's yeah. what I'm saying.
Yes,
that'd be good. Maybe.
You couldn't even say that with a straight face, Sandra.
Alright, well, it's an oldie from us two and a prehistoric-y from Rob.
I've started a trend. Let's see if it carries on.
It won't.
Much like this movie.
Yeah. No. Oof. We usually pitch like a sequel or a spin-off to whatever we just watched before talking about the actual sequel.
Yeah.
What are some of Dick the ideas that you have?
Dick the Bird's gotta have a spin-off of his own.
Yeah.
I see him as sort of like, you know, as a consulting independent detective with liaisons with the Bedrock police force.
Okay. Mm.
And so he's like Cracker. He breaks the criminals that nobody else can in the interrogation booth, and he sees things that the cops can't.
Oh, yeah, and he could go undercover as, like, a recording device. He, like, swaps
out. No, he goes undercover in people's houses, so he's the one who goes, it's a living.
They look at him, and he goes, oh, man, I hate my job, it's a living, and they're like, oh, it's just an appliance, and they move on. Mm. It's, like, perfect disguise. No one would suspect.
I'm up for that. What's your spin-off idea?
I was thinking about it, and out of all of the crossovers between the Flintstones and the Jetsons, it's always the Flintstones in the Jetsons universe.
Yeah.
From everything that I have seen. I want to bring the Jetsons to the Flintstones universe.
Yeah.
That's my sequel. That would be cool.
I, just thinking of it, I do want to see a love story between Dino and Astro.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I like it. Torn apart by time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how they bring together. It's a sad story. At the end.
I can imagine the poster.
Oh.
Just their paws up against.
Oh. Oh, get your Photoshop skills happening now, Sandra.
The Jetsons have to go and scope out this this crashed spaceship on this planet, and there are these like eggs on the spaceship that when you put your face over it, they... What's a good term?
Hug their face.
Hug the face.
I
don't see where you're
going.
Look,
if they've done Archie,
they could probably do an
Archie
also a pretty
aliens.
Good prequel for that one that everyone would love.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Jetsons and Flintstones Prometheus. That's gonna be so good.
That would be amazing. Anyway, what's yours, Zach?
As I mentioned before, this has to do with the whole test scenario, and in this, Barney doesn't swap the tests.
Right.
he's just going along. He puts his test away because he's a good boy, you know. He puts his test in. He wouldn't swap or something. That would be very evil.
Yes.
And, like, dishonest. Yeah, he wouldn't even look at... he's an honest man.
Wouldn't even look at other people's answers.
Yeah, of course. He gets hired, obviously.
Yep.
But he immediately catches on to this whole scheme.
Yeah.
But figures out how to work it for from his advantage. From the inside? Okay, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. At first, he's like, oh, I could probably get up enough evidence to get them locked in jail and stuff. So he's doing that. But then he gets told, oh, you've got to fire your best friend because he got the lowest score.
Of course.
But instead, what he does is he fires another employee and then just has Fred come in as that employee. Yeah, and he says, oh, yeah, I fired Fred and all. He finds out, you know, the person he fired, he was also a family man, just like himself.
Yeah.
And the kid died or some crap.
Yeah,
like
yeah, from a nail in his foot.
Yeah.
He got a tetanus shot. Yeah. Jesus. Kill that kid.
Yeah, no one has flu.
Bring on. Just spirals out of control. Yeah. Start growing evil goatees. Yes.
And so then he starts like, wait, then if I had money, I could help people like this. I could run this company.
Yeah.
And so he starts embezzling. He gets the original bad guys, you know, they get put in jail and they're like, no, but he's also embezzling and stuff. It's like, nah, they're lying.
Mm.
But and then he, of course, becomes the villain.
It is very Shakespearean. You've got all Macbeth.
Barney, very Macbeth.
And then the ghost of Fred or the child comes to the dinner table. It's like Banquo's ghost.
Yeah. And then it goes through pretty much the end of that story, except he gets encased in concrete.
Barney, hoisted by his own petard.
But it also gets super modernized and all workers get fired and it doesn't get resolved and everything's super sad.
Steam
and
it's just wins. Yeah.
Well, that's not what they did. Instead, they made a prequel.
They did, and I can't find anywhere why that was their choice. No. This is one of the lowest amounts of information on Wikipedia I have ever found. Yeah. There's one line of information about the production of Viva Rock Vegas.
That's it.
I think it's more like they just wanted to do the Vegas setting and thought, well, we can't have them being older at Vegas.
Old people never go to Vegas.
Old people at no point ever have gone to Vegas and been hilarious at Vegas.
And none of the original cast return. The cast for that one, though, look older than they do in this film sometimes.
Yes.
For some of them.
But I think Harvey Korman actually shows up, not as the voice of Dick the Bird, he actually as a human character.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's
cool. I've never seen Viva Rock.
Yeah,
that's cool. It cost him $83 million to make, only made $60 million, and pretty much killed the franchise in its tracks until 2011. When a young Seth MacFarlane was like, I'll make an animated TV show revival of the Flintstones. Mm. And then Fox were like, no. So that never happened. And then in 2014, and this project apparently still in development, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay are working on a script for an animated Flintstones film.
Because they did so well with Holmes and Watson, didn't they?
Yep.
I still have not and will not.
No, don't watch it.
Mm.
They've done some good things. They did the new Dead to Me show that's on Netflix at the moment. They wrote that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Which is pretty good. So
yeah.
But yeah, I think that is the episode.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking me through this film that I had blocked out from my memory.
Yes.
If you liked the show, the best thing you can do is just tell a friend. If you've got a friend who likes movies, just be like, hey, friend, it's a podcast about this sort of stuff. If you want to get in touch with the show, we got emails, we got Facebook, we got Instagrams.
We got Steam mails, or as the better version is, snail mail.
Snail mail.
Yeah. Far superior to Steam mail.
You know one thing we haven't mentioned about this? Sorry, we're doing it right in the middle of the closing out. The pterodactyl, the massive pterodactyl.
Oh, yeah. Around, God, that's like
and
a scene.
Just everyone runs away, and then it just shits on a car.
That was good.
Yeah, but nothing came of it.
And it was just a gag. I went, you know what would be a gag? A massive shit on a car. Because you know what? Birds shit on cars, but they don't shit on the entire car.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh my God, I forgot about that entirely.
That was good.
Oh, that was so dumb. It was a giant.
Let us know the one time your car got shat on. But yeah, all the links to those things are in.
We will have a link to giant bird shit on cars.
That's right. Do you want to plug your stuff? What's going on?
Plug your bird crap.
Coming up for me on June 22nd, on Saturday, June 22nd, Mr. David Innes and I of Innes Lloyd fame will be doing our first of our one-off shows for this year, 2019. We're putting on our 40th birthday celebration of the Muppet Movie.
Ooh, very nice.
All the music of John Williams and all the great inspiring puppetry and humor of Jim Henson and his incredible Muppet people. So they'll be on the Saturday the 22nd of June at the Butterfly Club, 5:30 in the afternoon, so you can see the show, then go out and have some dinner and get pissed.
Yep.
And just go to butterflyclub.com to purchase your tickets.
Very good.
Awesome. Awesome.
That sounds good.
I have that on VHS.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, old school. Yeah.
Yes. I have that, and I've watched it many times on that VHS. That's one of my there you go.
One of my first
I love VHS's. It. It's so great.
It's good. One of the best films ever.
So good.
Yeah.
All right, Zach, it's your choice for next episode.
Yep.
You're choosing between two movies.
One
of them is called The Cowboy Way.
No.
It's an action comedy. With Woody Harrelson and Kiefer Sutherland and their cowboys.
I remember that. Yeah. I never saw it, but I remember that. Yeah,
We're done with cowboys. We've done like two cowboy movies and they were complete toss. Moving on.
All right. The other one is Renaissance Man. Danny DeVito is just a classic guy.
Yes.
And he goes to an army base to teach Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, boy. Yes.
It's apparently 2.5 hours long.
Oh, my God. What?
Is it called Renaissance Man, or did it have a different title here in Australia? And I think
it could have had a different title. Maybe.
Yeah, where he teaches Shakespeare to army cadets,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah. I think it was called Renaissance Man in the States, but here it was called Army Intelligence. Yes, in Australia, it went by the title known as Army.
Is it only in Australia?
Only in Australia.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yes, in Australia, that's it was crazy. Called Army Intelligence.
Okay.
Maybe people thought, Renaissance Man, that's a weird long word. That's not going to work here in Australia.
I don't know what that even means.
Because it's a film about he takes a job trying to teach English and Shakespeare to these. So it's kind of like in the spirit of Dead Poets Society type thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ebert gave it a thumbs down.
Oh.
Roger Ebert. And this is something we do in Innes Lloyd. I'm sorry. We have Roger Ebert gave it a thumbs down, but Gene Siskel, who's our nemesis, enjoyed it. He thought it was a pleasant fare and gave it a thumb up.
Okay.
Ah, so there you
Siskel.
Go.
Nice.
Yeah,
we'll see how correct or incorrect he is.
We always end with our favorite quote from the movie, though, that we just watched.
I'm using a quote from the main character.
Okay.
Oh, Freddy Boy, Barney Rubble, who.
In this cave. I am King, which sums up this film entirely of the whole household value system.
That's why he goes, the woman will do whatever I say. Will you do this? Yes, my love. Oh,
I'll say, I should have signed to Disney. They never would have allowed this to happen. And then Rob gets the final one.
I made bugs, but I have feelings, and you hurt them.
All right, see ya.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.